Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 5 tonight. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to just do a lesson for us on Wednesday night on abundant life. And when I began looking through the Bible at what all is involved in the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us in John chapter 10, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I found there were so many things connected to it that it was impossible to cover all that in a single dose. And then last week preached on abundant joy that goes with the abundant life. And today we're going to preach on abundant grace that goes with the abundant life. There are many things that are abundant to us that are given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in abundance. And so we want to look at those. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, is a good place for us to find the text for this study tonight. Frankly, it's the second portion of the sentence that we want to look at. But he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to really, really help us tonight. Father, I pray for the Bible clubs and what's going on with the kids next door, for the teens and what Tony is able to accomplish with them out in the modular building, and for us tonight, Father. And even for the nursery, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work with great power amongst us tonight. These are your words. They're powerful words, and they speak to our minds, to our hearts, to our spirits. They strengthen us, Father, and they reprove us, and they correct us and instruct us. And I'm so thankful for these words. Tonight, Father, it's a great joy, it's a great privilege to be able to speak about abundant grace. And I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to be able to understand what we're reading and to be able to appropriate that grace in our lives. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Paul said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And when he says that, grace did much more abound, we're talking about abundant grace. Now, if you consider your life just the way that it is, and you consider what the Bible has to say about sin, you know, you understand, or should understand, that sin is abundant in your life. When visiting with people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, when doing personal work with people who are raised in religion, for instance, they don't see abundance of sin in their life at all. As a matter of fact, They'll say things like, "Well, I know we're all sinners, but Christ died for our sins." And they say, "Well, do you hope to go to heaven?" "Absolutely, I hope to go to heaven." And why do you believe you should be able to go to heaven? "Because I'm a good person." You know what that is? That's a person who is incapable of seeing sin in his life or sin in her life from God's perspective. For instance, if you were talking about that, like for instance, Angela having that amoeba, if you look at her and say, "What's wrong?" she wouldn't be able to tell you. But doctors are able with microscopes to analyze what's going on inside of a person's body. They can analyze the blood. They can look at things you can't see. They can say, "You know what? The problem you're having is so serious that you need to go back to the United States because there are treatments you need. We can't give you here." Well, you know what that is? That's the evaluation of a professional familiar with the problems of internal medicine that can see things about your condition you can't see. When God says where sin abounded, and he's talking about us, whether we understand fully what he's saying or not, we need to recognize that sin abounds in our lives. Now, those of us who are saved, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're not committing the same kinds of sins that we did before we got saved. But you know what? Sin that thing called sin is still operating in your flesh. It's still there. Paul said that when he would do things that he didn't want to do, that he knew weren't right for me to do, he said, it's not me, it's no more than I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And you know what he said the remedy for that is? He said it's grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's what he said. Grace did much more abound. Well, God has promised us abundant life. And part of that abundant life is this abundant grace that accompanies abundant life that accomplishes some things in our lives. So the first thing we want to say about abundant grace in our lives tonight is this, that abundant grace is given to us to cover our sin. It is more abundant. It is more abundant than the sin that's in our lives. Let's say that you had something like oil, and it had to be cleaned out of the container that it was in. And let's say there's an enzyme that is able to dissolve and get rid of that oil. All right, if you have more of that enzyme than you do the oil that you need to get rid of, and you apply it, you're going to get rid of all that oil, and you'll have some enzyme left over. You know what God is saying? There's sin in there. I'll grant you that. But I'm going to tell you what, I've got more grace than you've got sin. And so that is a welcome report to us. Look with me. We're going to be looking through the Bible tonight. We're going to leave this text now, and we won't be coming back here. So let's go to John chapter 1. I'll give you time to get there. I want to make sure everybody can see these verses. Bear with us in the study tonight. We're trying to learn something that God has supplied for us in our lives. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word, speaking of Jesus Christ, notice the capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See that? See the word grace? Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received. And, look at it, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice he says He was full, in verse 14, of grace and truth. And in verse 16, of His fullness, that is that which He is full of His fullness, have all we received, and grace for grace. So He's full of grace, and of His fullness we all receive, and grace for grace. What does that mean? In the context of what we're studying tonight. You know what that means? You get a dose of grace today, and tomorrow you can come back for some more. And you get a dose of grace tomorrow, and the next day you can come back some more. One time years ago, many years ago, a fellow heard of a preacher that was now aged and was no longer actively involved in the ministry, and he wouldn't take care of him. And he knew that they had a mutual friend, and so he anonymously sent to the mutual friend enough money to take care of this guy and ask if he would give it to him. And the fellow that received it thought, you know what I think I'll do? I will instead of giving it to him all at once, which might overwhelm him, might not know what to do with it, I'll send him enough to take care of his needs now, and then I'll send him the same amount regularly as these needs come up, make sure that for the rest of his life he's taken care of. What he did, he would write it on an envelope and take it to the guy, and it would say this. It'd say, more to follow. More to follow. You know what the Lord says? That grace you needed for yourself today, there's more to follow. There's plenty. An abundance of grace. You cannot exhaust. You cannot drain the supply of grace there is. Now the beautiful thing about this grace that covers our sin, we started with it. Watch this. Tonight in this room, tonight in this auditorium, there are save people. The vast majority of the people in here tonight have already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've already received His grace and you are saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yesterday we had the opportunity to witness to a couple of men, and it was a real pleasure to let them know that salvation is by the grace of God, and that grace is appropriated in our lives when we put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's a gift. It's a gift. But listen, sometimes we get the idea that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and we have grace to be saved, that that's the last time we get a gift of grace. And that's not the case. You live by the same grace that saved you. And it is there in abundance to help you and strengthen you against sin in your life. Listen, there are sins that were in your life that aren't bothering you today. And they're not going to bother you. It's like you're dead to those things. But there's other sin in your life that bothers you. And you know what will give you the strength to deal with that sin in your life? The same thing that saved you from that sin in the first place. The grace of God. And it is more abundant than the sin in your life. So look to that grace. It will cover your sin. Not only that, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Give you time to find that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Abundant grace not only covers our sin, but abundant grace also meets our need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at verse 8. Abundant grace to meet our need. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. God is able to make how much grace? All grace. Abound, we're talking about abundant grace. Abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's an amazing thing. You don't have to depend upon your own strength to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to depend upon your own strength to do the work of God. You don't have to depend upon your own strength to meet all of your own needs. God's grace is abundant toward you, having all sufficiency in all things, abounding to every good work. Now, you know something? This statement is connected to what's going on before that. Look at verse 7 and verse 6. This I say in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's an interesting thing that takes place with this grace and this ability of God to meet your need, to meet our need. What it is this. So here's God's reservoir, if you will, His lake of grace. And really, it's limitless. Years and years ago, Anna and I were in Washington State and we were visiting Lake Quinault. You may have been over in that area at some point. They haven't sounded the depth of that lake. They don't know how deep it is. Well, you know what? You cannot sound the depth of God's grace. There's more grace than you can measure. It's immeasurable. So here's His reservoir of grace. And here you are. God has saved you. He's given you something. And then what's happened to you, that grace has affected you in such a way that, like God, when you see somebody else in a need, these missionaries as an example, you think, you know what I need to do? I need to give cheerfully to what they're doing. And as that goes out, God's grace comes in. As that goes out, God's grace comes in so that you will always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. Those verses connected there seem to be showing us that when God's grace stagnates in your life, then it's not flowing. Do you understand? Because you kind of dealt with all this on your own. There's no need for and no dependence upon the sufficiency of God's grace. But as that gets going from your life, God's grace ministers to yours. I'll show you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. All right, in Philippians chapter 4, there is a verse in verse 19 that says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is that right? Who is that written to? That's written to the church in here of Philippi, these Philippians. Well, look at verse 15. Same chapter. Chapter 4. "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound." How did that happen? From the all-sufficient grace of God. "I am full." How did that happen? From the fullness of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. "Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you see how it goes? It's like when it runs out of you, it runs back into you from the grace of God. And as an old preacher used to say, you become a conduit. And it is the grace of God that assures you that you will have all sufficiency in all things because of the abundance of the grace of God. One more time, we looked at this last week. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here it is. There were poor saints down in Jerusalem. They were really, really struggling down there. And so churches that were coming to Jesus Christ were taking up offerings to help them through the dearth, through the hard time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we saw this last week. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." The guys in Macedonia decided they were going to help the fellows in Jerusalem, and so they were sacrificing in deep poverty and great affliction to meet that need, and you know what? God was meeting their need. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. But it's there. So, you know, in the what does that say there in "There is that scattereth and yet increases. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Yeah, that thing from Proverbs. You know why you can trust God through this? Because of His grace. That's why. All right, let me show you another one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, as a matter of fact, some of you have heard of like faith promise missions where you put your faith in that God's going to help you meet your commitment to the missions for that year. Brother Dunbar, who is up in Auburn, New York, you know what they have? They have grace giving. You know, he says, faith giving puts a lot of emphasis on the man. Grace giving puts a lot of emphasis on God. I like that. I like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Look at verse 10. Look at verse 9 for the context. Paul said, I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What is abundant grace for? It's to cover our sin. It's there to meet our need, and it is there for us to fulfill God's will. That's what he said right here. He said, look, he says in verse 9, he's basically saying, I'm not qualified to be doing what I'm doing. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I'm the last person on earth that God should have chosen to do this work that I'm doing. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, I'm not going to deny that I am what God has made me to be. I didn't make myself this way. I didn't choose this thing. God did this in me. And then he said, His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, God has something. God has something for you to do. He has something for every person in here to do. He really does. And, you know, sometimes you may be thinking, well, there's no way that I can do whatever that is. Now, sometimes you think, this all God wants me to do, I can do way more than this. I mean, that attitude sometimes prevails. Oh, man, I can't believe this all they give me to do. I can do way more than that. You'll grow up. You'll get over that. But then there's that other thing that says, this, you know, I can't believe God's asking me to do this. Jason Moore, go to Fiji, hurricane, temperament of the people contrary to him, all the other cultural barriers and difficulties, the work of the devil trying them, trying to stop them. How's he going to continue? How can he do that? Grace of God. Grace of God. It is beyond the capacity of men and women to do those things that God wants us to do. So He gives us an abundance of grace to be able to accomplish things we cannot do. If anybody could take credit in his own flesh and ability for accomplishing things for God, Paul could do it. He really could. He was a highly disciplined man. He said, if anybody wants to put confidence in the flesh, I can do that. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, persecuting the church. Man, I am zealous. I know the law, the whole thing. He said, but as it concerns this work, I count myself as nothing. What's accomplishing this work through me is the grace of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's running down here through some beautiful things in the church, verses 3 through 6. But then he says in Ephesians 4:7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he talks about our responsibilities. I'm not going to continue. He talks about our responsibilities to each other in the body of Christ, beginning with verse 11 all the way down to verse 16. And the way that you look at verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, watch it, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know how that's possible? That's possible because of the grace of God that is given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's how you can fulfill that work that God has for you to do. I would say this, if you are concerned about God's will in your life, if you are concerned about God's will in your life and what He wants you to do with your life, I would become very acquainted with the grace of God if I were you. Because this work It is so easy for it to go to your head. It is so easy for you to get tripped up in what God has you to do. But if you recognize the grace of God and your own insufficiency and recognize that anything that's happening can be attributed to the grace of God, it will save you lots and lots of heartache and lots of problems down the road. You'll never see something as too big for you to be able to do. You'll never take credit for something that only God can do. And that's very important. You say, well, what if I'm in ill health? What if my body is broken down? What if I have some sort of a limiting factor in my life? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had a limiting factor in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You were in Ephesians. Just go backwards a couple of books and look at this. Abundant grace to cover our sin. Abundant grace to meet our need. Abundant grace to fulfill God's will. Here's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And boy, I mean to tell you, God laid it on him. He gave him revelations of things. Some of the things he couldn't even write that he saw and heard. But in verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, you know, I could think of myself as a big shot here. He said, I'm going to get over that. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it may depart from me. So God put a thorn in his flesh to let him know it's not you, buddy. It is I. He put this. So Paul prayed three times that it would depart from him. Verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Isn't that something? You see how this thing with grace is working? Some of that flows out of me. God's grace flows back into me so that I always have all sufficiency in all things. I'm weakened so I can be strengthened by the grace of God. And in that strength of the grace of God, I'm stronger than I was when I was strong. In order to have it, I need to be weak. You see how that goes? Where does grace abound? It abounds in the presence of the abundance of sin. Every weakness we have is mitigated and strengthened and supplied by the grace of God. And it's abundant. It is always greater than the need, always greater than the insufficiency, always greater than the sin, always greater than the weakness. It's wonderful. Look in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'll show you another one. What does this abundance of the grace of God do? In Acts chapter 11, we want to read verses 22 and 23, but we have to begin reading with verse 19 to get a good understanding of where we're going here. So bear with me. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. So Stephen was martyred and the persecution was increasing and people were scattering abroad. Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. So that's important because that's where we're going to go is Antioch. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, get the picture. There's a tremendous amount of persecution. Men and women are scattering. They're preaching the word of God, and where they are scattering, people are getting saved. But the persecution hasn't lifted. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. So it all started down in Jerusalem, and they're like, we're hearing this report that God's doing things all over the country, but we need to go up and see what it is. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23, who, when he came, watch it, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What? Look at verse 23. Look at the wording here. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Well, the grace of God is, I mean, when you think about it, it's not something you see. It's the grace of God. It's a supernatural strength that accompanies weakness and sin and necessity and things like that. But he said, I saw something that was going on there, and what I saw was the grace of God. And he saw it going on in the church, and he exhorted them with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. What did he see? What he saw was a ragtag bunch of people who had of necessity run from persecution. They were being scattered. But they knew Jesus Christ and they were preaching Jesus Christ to Jews, and Jews were believing and getting saved, because the preaching of the Word of God, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, does not return void. So putting this stuff out there and God's doing something, he gets into that congregation and he sees what is happening in Antioch, and he says, This is the grace of God. In other words, he didn't see some cloud called the grace of God or some glorious manifestation of God. He saw the manifestation of the grace of God in the people that were in the church. That's what he saw. And he said, this is a ragtag bunch of people, and God is doing great things. The hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. He said, that can't be this group of people. They don't have the capacity to have accomplished this. This is the grace of God that I'm seeing. Do you understand? We look around here at ourselves and we say, well, nothing like that could ever happen here. It could by the grace of God. It won't because of this preacher. It won't because of the associates. It won't because of you, but it will by the grace of God. When we're preaching the Word of God, and Paul, he saw that, he said, hey, buddy, he said, I'm going to tell you, I got an exhortation. Purpose your heart, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. That's what he said. You want this to continue, guys? Stay close to God. That's what he said. Why? Because when you put a body together like this, if something is happening that is good for the Lord, you got to know there's an adversary. Your flesh grows weary of it. There are personalities involved. There is a devil. And he wants to break that up. And so Barnabas looked around there and he said, oh, guys. He said, oh, with purpose of heart, you better cleave to the Lord. Because this thing that's happening here, it's not you. This is the grace of God here that's doing this. So I look at the same thing and I think about our church, and I realize that abundant grace is here not only to cover our sin, meet our need, fulfill God's will, but to strengthen our church. We need the grace of God. We are nothing without it. You say the buildings are paid for. We are nothing without the grace of God. You got money in the bank. We are nothing without the grace of God. We know that we got the Word of God and we know how to preach. We're nothing without the grace of God. We must stay close to the Lord, and we must depend upon and recognize, as people we are weak, as people we are incapable, but as God, God can do anything, as long as His grace will continue to operate in that way. Paul, turn to Acts chapter 20. I'll show you. Paul absolutely understood this. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now he says this. Paul is talking to the elders of Ephesus. He's getting ready to go down to Jerusalem. And before he leaves, he's giving them a kind of some final words. And in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, he says this, and now brethren, so he's kind of like Barnabas, I'm going to leave you with this. Now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Why? Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know what's building up the strengthening the church? What's building up the church? It is the word of His grace. That grace of God is what is the strength. As soon as it's about men, as soon as we're dependent upon, you know, whatever we can supply to this thing, you know what happens? the more it becomes dependent upon us, the less it's required of God, and the grace doesn't flow. The weaker we recognize ourselves and the more needy we are of His grace, the more of that's supplied and the more can be accomplished by it. So abundant grace to strengthen our church. Let me just show you one more thing, okay? Because I think this is vitally important to the things we've seen. And turn with me back to 2 Corinthians. Look in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The grace of God, the abundant grace of God. Man, it's way, way sufficient. But like a seesaw, when your side goes down, His side comes up. Hey, what you want to do is you want to keep your side down. So His side is always up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's a fabulous passage of Scripture. But I think we can go right to verse 15, and I believe we can get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the, here it is, abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That word redound is not a word that you use frequently. You know what a rebound is, right? Throw a basketball up against the backboard and it comes back off the board, and they call that a rebound. Throw a tennis ball against the wall, bounce it back, call it a rebound. To redound to the glory of God. Well, let's read the verse carefully, make sure we understand it, and then we'll put it together. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, so this kind of shows you how it's working, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Here's what happens. We find ourselves in a position of need. Because of sin in our lives, because of weakness in our lives, because of a work that God has given us to do that's greater than we can accomplish in our flesh, because of the necessity that comes upon us, because of giving under the instruction of the Lord. Okay, got that going on. And as we see the grace of God strengthening our church, and listen, people are thankful. That's what He said, thankful. Got to be thankful because you're recognizing God's giving you something. You know, if somebody gives you $20, man, thank you. That's what you do. God gives you grace. Thank you, Lord. All right? And what happens is through the thanksgiving of many, redounds to the glory of God. What is that? To redound to the glory of God is like this. The first time God gives you grace or gives us grace, and we say, thank you, Lord. You know what happens? There's a glory to God. Kind of like, He does it again, and you go, wow, thank you, Lord. And He goes, and it goes a little higher. And He does it again, and you go, wow, thank you, Lord. It goes a little higher. You know what a redounding to the glory of God? The more thanksgiving there is associated with the greater supply of the grace of God, the more God is glorified. It's like pumping up. It's like the hydraulics in a bottle jack. The more you crank it, the higher the car goes. And there's no limit to it. It just redounds to the glory of God. It goes higher. It builds up momentum higher and higher and higher and higher. Do you know what our responsibility in the church is? According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, it is to glorify God in the church. And the way you do it and the way I do it is we stay dependent upon and recognize the need for the grace of God and thank Him every evident supply of that grace. And that thing starts building momentum and it goes higher and higher and redounding more and more to the glory of God. And let me ask you something. If we are to give glory to God in the church and by the thanksgiving of many, because of His abundant grace, it is redounding in the glory of God. You think He's going to shut it off? When that's the one thing that we are really supposed to do is glorify God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We got to get ourselves out of the way. Cleave to the Lord. Recognize the need for His grace because of our sin. Recognize the need for His grace because of our necessity. Recognize the need for His grace to fulfill His will. Recognize the necessity for His grace to strengthen the church. And recognize the relationship of that abundant grace to His glory and understand why that thing keeps working. That is the abundant grace of God that is given to us in our abundant life. You know why some people never experience that abundant grace? Because they will not associate with others in a church like this. And they are selfishly motivated that life is about them, not about God. And they think they're strong enough to handle it all on their own and don't see the need for God. And that puts them right out of the loop. Puts them right out of the loop. This isn't about us, folks. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about His grace. It's not about us. It's about glory to God. And as long as we remember that, you will always, in all things, having all sufficiency by the abundance grace of God. Amen. Father, thank You so much tonight for the encouraging words. You helped me. I see it in a perspective I hadn't seen it before, and I'm delighted, Father, for Your great gift. Thank You. Thank You abundantly for what You've given us. And I ask You, Heavenly Father, tonight, oh boy, to help us to learn to continue to live by the same grace that saved us. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.